from DynastyLeagueFootball.com and the DLF family of podcasts, this is the Super Flex Super Show. Your main source for strategy, speculation, player values, and all things Super Flex. With innovative strategies like QBX and the Super Flex Flywheel, exercises like Tinderflex, Super Six, You're Nuts, and Next Week This Week, the Super Show's Super Friends never lack the content you need to help you draft and manage your roster in the fastest-growing fantasy football format, Superflex, on the Superflex Super Show. Enjoy your DLF podcast and stay sexy and super flexy.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winnings to turn. You had a cheat before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, trade at X5. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
My name's Jagger May, and I don't have a trading problem. I can quit whenever I want.
What they all say. Right. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Session 257 of the Trade Addicts Podcast. I'm a member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And we just did. We are slowly yet surely creeping our way to all of this after season stuff mattering, right? Like, I'm so happy we're past the combine. I'm so happy we have MFL rollover where we have the picks, we have the numbers. But I need the draft. I need the NFL draft. I'm tired of this. Well, if Levis gets drafted here or if Richardson gets drafted, if this running back gets drafted within the first 3-4 rounds, like if this guy gets drafted, like I'm ready. But we still have a month, a full month. And I'm not ready for that. Like, I'm ready to keep going. I'm ready. I want this. But we're going to keep going. Jagger is a first-time guest, so as always, we are going to do our little interviewee thing, but let's first start off with the important stuff. Why don't you let everyone know who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
My name is Jagger. Like I said before, you can find me on Twitter at FantasyBlueChip. I just started at DLF. I have one more massive project with DFF, which will be the rookie guide. And as someone who's been grinding through 50 rookie prospects, I too am ready for the draft. And that's it.
That's it. Like, working through a freaking gigantic rookie prospect thing is not some gigantic obnoxious work of art at this point. Ugh. All right. So how long have you been playing fantasy football for?
Probably 10 years, more than that. Like, the year after I graduated high school, me and some friends wanted to do something together that like we could communicate with. So like, if everyone's going to college, why not have fantasy football? So we had our first draft on NFL.com, and that created the monster that you guys see today. So, and then Dynasty, I got into 3 years ago because, besides fantasy football, I've always been a draft nick and a draft nerd. And I had a friend that was like, man, you know a lot about football compared to the like average football guy. You should try Dynasty, you know, especially since you like rookies. And then that was like, you know, that when you talk about gateway drugs, you know, they don't talk about you know, like fantasy football getting you, you know?
Yep. Okay, hold on. Most importantly, and speaking of monsters, what's your cat's name?
Oh, Ash in the background. Yeah, that's my cat, Ash. So
I'm sitting here talking, like watching you talk, and then all of a sudden I just see something hopping in the background.
Cat,
I'm like,
kitty! Yep.
She's specifically hungry when I'm recording, not any other time of the day.
She wants airtime.
Oh,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, there was a couple of shows through a couple of weeks where, you know, my dog snoring absolutely made guest appearances. Oh, like, yeah. I just started locking her out of the basement. And the thing is, like, her crate is literally right above where I am. And I have an English bulldog, so she has the smushed face and sinus problems. Like, she snores and it shakes the floor, like, of the ceiling above me. So, like, I still hear that. And but, like, I'm going to sit here staring at your cat the entire time. So, like, if you feel like I'm staring through you, I absolutely am. Okay, so what are some of the best and worst trades that come to your mind in your Dynasty history?
When I think about best trades, one that I like, whenever I have a bad day, like I just sit and look at this trade, like I go back and look at it. When Cooper Rush was having his big four games when Dak was down, and Cowboys fans were saying, you know, we should start Cooper Rush over Dak. I had a Cowboys fan in there that thought that, and I took advantage. So I sent him Cooper Rush, and then Julio Jones had a great game right after that. And I'm like, here's my moment. This guy thinks he can win. I'm going to sell him Cooper Rush and I'm going to sell him Julio Jones. And he's freaking out about Devontae Smith. And I got Devontae Smith back.
Oof.
And
that, ooh, yeah.
So that's highway robbery. Like that, that was, yeah, I should have wore a ski mask when I said spent on that one. And then like the worst trades, right now, one that I like that sticks in my brain, I think about the trades that you don't accept. Mm-hmm. I could have got Justin Fields for one first, just one.
And like, well, I mean, like, are we talking 101 first? Because that's okay. You missed out. That's not the worst thing in the world. But like, if we're talking, it could have been like the 110, then you, maybe you want to cry a little bit.
It was a 104. So like, you know, you know,
nice. That would have been nice.
It would have been nice, you know, and like I still traded that pick, but like for another mess of deals. But like, I still think I could have gotten Justin Fields for like now sending a first is a joke, you know? So,
yeah.
That was the best part about playing in like home leagues or smaller leagues. Like you get that one guy, you know, just like he's going to draft three Giants play. I live in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So he's like, he's going to draft some Giants players. Let me go grab Saquon real fast. And then, it's oh, just, yeah. You know, you sell him for the bounty that you know, you're going to get. Whew. Oh man. All right. So what is a guiding principle you take with you, whether you are offering or evaluating a trade?
This is a perfect segue. First, see if they're Cowboys fans. And then, you know, that is like, if they're a Cowboys fan, you're boom. You're like, I could take advantage of them. And then like, but on the real,
Cowboys fans aren't very smart.
Yeah. Nah, man. Nah. and then on a serious note, my second guiding principle is see if they're Ohio State fans, because they're another one where you could trade. But in all honesty, it's like the usual that I'm sure that you guys heard a million times is like knowing your league. That's the big lesson. Yep. Is knowing who you're trading with, how they negotiate. Like to me, it makes your opening trade that much easier because you can come correct. You don't get the like, oh, that was insulting. I'm never going to trade with you again because I think Kenny Galladay's still somebody, you know, or something like that. You know, it just depends.
I wish Kenny Galladay was still somebody.
It was a good 1 year.
It was a great 1 year.
It's been a while since Kenny Galladay was somebody.
He's somebody in here. And for all you people not watching, I'm pointing to my heart. Oh. Man, great. Now we got me sad. All right, well, that was fun. So, yes, awesome. Everyone listening now is just like, I like this Jagger guy. Let's keep going. All right, so we're going to listen on and keep going. Man, the news the past couple of weeks has been ridiculous. I'm almost happy to get back to this. All right, well, we don't really have any news, But I need to non-point scoring season coach speak is, or player speak in this case, is just makes things so much more. I mean, fun is absolutely the wrong word. Lamar Jackson tweets out that he requested a trade a month ago. Like, I don't know what he was hoping to really happen with that, but good for him. And the day after I trade for Trey Lance, 49ers GM John Lynch comes out and says, Purdy is the leader in the locker room and would take the first snap if it were right now and he were healthy. John, come on, man. You couldn't have said that a day earlier, so I didn't waste a trade. I mean, I don't feel like I traded much. We'll talk about it in a few minutes, but does either of this affect you, Jagger? Like, how much do you weigh what anyone is saying right now, just because why do they have to tell us the truth, I guess, is really what it comes down to.
Well, to me, this is a thing where it I take everything like case by case. For the most part, I think most of it is just like bull crap, you know, like the whole Purdy thing. It's like, yeah, Purdy will get the first snap because he took the last snap and it was pretty good. You know, like and that's what they have to say. You can't, after someone who wasn't even supposed to see the field leads you that far, you can't be like, well, you know, he's not really that good and Shanahan's a genius, so we're going to go with the guy that we actually spend a lot of capital on. You know, you can't really say that. So, but one thing that I do take, and again, this is a, I guess, another guiding principle in training. It's like stuff like this is kind of like you go to like to KTC or whatever you use to, you know, fantasy calc, whatever you use. It's like watching the Dow Jones, you know, it's like when you watch a president make it like a really stupid tweet and then like the stock market crashes. This is how information like that works. And again, I just try to capitalize on it that way. I'll still buy some Lance, you know?
Yeah, I'm with Jagger. This means the Lance thing especially means, well, I guess the Purdy thing means very little to me. I had a whole debate by a text with one of the guys in TA10, Derek, today about the whole, like, he was saying how it's bad for Lance. And I'm like, this means nothing to me. They're starting Lance.
Purdy, they really have to.
Yes. And it's not even like the dude has failed. Like, he hasn't played. He's played like four games or whatever it is. And one of them was in a monsoon. You don't invest that much and then never give him a real chance to play. He's going to start to see. I mean, might he have a shorter leash than he would have other if Brock Purdy didn't exist?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. But he's going to start the season. And people love to overlook the fact that Purdy was not that good. He was okay, but he basically, they won a lot of games against mediocre competition and he didn't throw a lot of picks. That's what he did.
Okay. I need to point out for all of you people who are not patrons, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod, watching us live while we record, the face that was just thrown by Jagger to Rocky when Rocky said the words, Purdy wasn't that good. It was pretty great. Not gonna lie.
Yeah. I mean, because it's the truth. And to me, I don't like to be like the condescending analyst or anything like that. But it's definitely an indicator of do you know ball type thing. Because like I think Purdy did good enough for what the 49ers yes. asked him to do.
Yes.
But if you look at Kyle Shanahan's system, I think of one player that he's been trying to unlock. If you look at, you know, wide receiver guru Matt Harmon or anyone else, Brandon Ayuk has been dying to be a wide receiver one. And the problem why he can't be a wide receiver one is because he's best downfield. You know, you want to use a guy like that getting chunk plays. And there's not been a quarterback to do that. Brock Purdy unlocked George Kittle. And that's a great thing for fantasy and a great thing for football in general, but he still wasn't, you know, throwing darts all over the field. And he wasn't asked to do a lot in that offense. And to be honest, no 49ers quarterback is really asked to do a lot in general. But with Trey Lance, you have so much more upside. And then the secondary thing for people riding off Trey Lance is if Purdy, let's say in a perfect world for Brock Purdy, he is the starter for the 49ers. Trey Lance is going to be a starter for another team. They're going to trade them and get back something because everyone agreed that Trey Lance was probably a top three quarterback in that draft class. And if someone as smart as Shanahan thinks that he's worth that draft capital, you could be sure that another team would be willing to pay for it. So, yeah.
My whole thing with Purdy is especially from a real NFL perspective, is the 49ers had this, and they spent three firsts to draft Lance. Like, his ceiling is slightly better than Jimmy Garoppolo, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, but I mean, like, your sunk costing, like, one of the very few things.
But my point is, it's not just the sunk, because I know that Derek actually said that to me, too. But it's not just that. It's that you're not winning a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy. If you want to make the NFC championship game at best, yeah, stick with Brock Purdy. You're never winning it. I guarantee you they're never winning a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy. As an Eagles fan, I would be thrilled if they start Brock Purdy.
I really wish that I could actually say, okay, bet. And there are ways to actually track this, because who knows how the hell any of this will ever play out. But what I loved, someone asked Kyle Shanahan if he has a favorite, and or more that, if he had talked to Lynch and said who he wants his guy to be, who is untouchable. And Kyle Shanahan's reply was, I love all of the three quarterbacks we have, which I think he was talking about Darnold also, which pump your brakes, Kyle. But like, he's like, I love all three of them. I want to go into season with all three of them on our team, but no one's untouchable. And I'm just like, yes, everyone is available for the right price, Kyle. Yes, that's how you play. That's how you trade. That's what you do. Like, yeah, like, it seems like they would be happy with either of them. And if that's the case, and you can get a first or two for Lance, and someone offers you like a second or third for Purdy, crap, I'm taking those two first and starting Purdy. Because, Lance is that much more talented. But I could do some things with those two firsts. Like, they have drafted pretty well, and they have gotten very, very far with Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, I was trying to find a nicer way to put whatever Jimmy Garoppolo is, but no, let's just say, like,
he's good enough.
Exactly. Because that team is created to create after the catch. But, like, Jagger made out the great point. That doesn't mean you only throw the ball 4 yards. Like, we can hit Ayuk 20 yards down the field, and then he can create a little bit. Like, that still works. That still counts as yards after the catch. So I think either of them are a step forward from Garoppolo.
I know you're saying the sunk cost thing, but they could have just stuck with Jimmy Garoppolo and had three firsts. So,
well,
yeah,
again, I don't know. You had to take two firsts for Lance at this point, 2 years into his contract. Point, but Lance, I'm just saying, it's
at this
really
point, you
stupid.
Have Lance and Purdy on your team, and you spent, what is it, three firsts and a seventh. That's all that matters. Like, that's the one thing John Hogue has ever said in his life that I agree with. You know, I'm just kidding, John. I love you. At this point, over a full year from Purdy's, over like 6 years from when they drafted Lance, the cost is gone already. It doesn't matter anymore. But if you want to look at it for your QB room, you spent this amount. It doesn't matter on who anymore, because at this point, you just want to play your better player or get more for whichever player you can get more.
But we don't know that Purdy's the better player. We haven't seen Lance play.
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That weighs in, doesn't it, at this point?
Yeah. Regardless, Lance is going to trade. He's going to get traded, or he's going to start for the 49ers. And like, there's too many QB needy teams, and Lance, regardless if he has way too much perceived upside, we can say that he might not be that good. He hasn't played much football, whatever, but he has at least perceived talent that he's going to play somewhere else. And then I'll say one more thing and I'll let it go. I'm going to get a little bit in the weeds on actual football talk, and you can back this up on analytics. Everything that we've seen so far, the NFL has told us what the winning formula is for football. And Rocky brought this up. Like, they had a Super Bowl roster with Jimmy Garoppolo, and they were still willing to trade to get Lance. And that's because the winning formula is having a quarterback that consistently throw early and often and accurately with 14 yards or more down the field consistently. All of the good offenses that are making the Super Bowl and are winning at high rates, that's what they're doing. You have your Joe Burrows, you have your Josh Allens, and then you have your Jalen Hurts throwing the ball downfield consistently. Another thing that helps, the biggest discrepancy in football we have right now is the athleticism between the defensive line and pass rushers and the offensive line. So you have to be mobile. That is not just like, you can pad it a lot, but we've seen, let's think about the Buccaneers. They went from a top offense to the bottom because they had injuries to the offensive line. Same thing with Dallas. So what helps that is having an actual player who can create for themselves and extend plays. Brock Purdy does not do that. He does not fit the mold of what is a winning franchise quarterback in today's NFL. So that's my little rant.
Dude, so this is what it's, of course, Rocky leaves. I was about to make a joke at our expense. So this is what it's like to have someone smart on the show. Cool. Like right? You're coming back more often, man. Got to make us seem legitimate. All right. But I mean, like, again, there was no real news, but that was fun to talk about. And especially because I did trade for Lance this week. So we're going to talk about it a little bit. We're at the point. You're our guest. Do you want to do trades first or do you want to do listener questions first?
Let's get the trades out of the way, because there's some interesting listening questions.
Let's do the trades. That's how you gotta come on, man. Right. Trade Addicts Leagues, 12-team Superflex, PPR, tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception, and 0.05 points for return yardage for all leagues except for TA1 still, because I just haven't done it yet. All right, so let's go first. We had... It felt like a big boy, but then you look at the players on it. So our first trade, it's a lot of players at least. So everybody, like, get your pens and papers out for this one. We got the Cook brothers in Dalvin and James Cook, Amari Cooper and Christian Watson for Najee Harris, Brian Robinson, and Mike Evans. One more time. Dalvin Cook, James Cook, Amari Cooper, Christian Watson for Najee Harris, Brian Robinson, and Mike Evans. This actually goes back to what you were saying before, Jagger, where know the players in your league and know that they have a predilection to like the players from the teams they like on their fantasy teams. Kenny loves having him some Steelers. So, like, if I had Najee Harris on my team, you better be sure that I would be sending him at least one offer a day just to see what I can get out of him. Mm-hmm. And you know, he got Najee here. So what do you think about this one? Where do you think, which side would you prefer, I guess? Where's the value?
The value is completely on the Christian Watson side. I'm big on positional value and wide receivers, especially young ones who performed early. And Christian Watson, he's not my favorite out of last rookie class by any means, but I think he's like the biggest prize out of that. And then next is Amari Cooper. The rest of those players are all ones that I don't want to roster, and I would try to trade for other things. Like Najee Harris, to me, if I'm trying to win and I'm desperate and I need an RB2, Najee Harris is like cheap with upside, but I'm not trying to buy Dalvin Cook right now because I don't want to be caught holding the bag when the cliff hits. James Cook, I don't believe that the Bills believe in running backs, so I don't believe in James Cook. So, you know, that's just where I'm at. So definitely the top trade for me.
Yeah, see, like, I looked at this and I'm like, whoa, wow. And then I'm like, okay, hold on. So, like, honestly, like, I can kind of cross off, like, Brian Robinson and the Cooks. Because, like you said, Like, I get what you're saying about Najee. I believe in him a little bit more than it seems like you do. Like, I think that Steelers offense started to pick up a little bit towards the end. And like I say every single week, as long as the Steelers draft at least six offensive linemen in this draft, which is what they should be doing, they have to get better, you know? So, like, Amari Cooper, Christian Watson for Najee and Mike Evans.
Do you guys still believe in Mike Evans? Because
I was about to say, like, I'll cross off Cooper and Evans at this point because they're probably both solid wide receiver twos.
Yeah, like, it's a scratch. Like, yeah, I think they both have the same upside. You know, they're both talented. You know, it's just that they're both getting older and you're probably about at that cliff. Like, Mike Evans lost me a championship. He showed up at the wrong day, which is the championship. So, like, I know he's got it in him. You know?
Oh, yeah.
he won me that championship. Yeah, like, he won me
that championship. That's about Mike Evans for his entire career. All he has to do is be really tall and then fall down. And he's really good at both of those things.
Yep. He's really good at scoring touchdowns. Yeah. like the one skill that scores you points. Yeah. That's what he's really good at.
So, like, I think when it comes down to it, I probably would take the top side because I would keep Amari Cooper and Christian Watson and then try and trade the Cooks together for something like Najee Harris, like, you know, just like put them together to get that one guy I feel a little bit better about. What about you, Rock? How do you feel about this one?
Yeah, it's weird. I think I prefer to have the bottom, the Najee side on my team, but I think I'd probably take the top side. I think the value is on the top side.
I mean, I feel like that means it's a good trade, right?
I mean, I think James Cook is rising, even though I don't think he necessarily should be, because I think he is right. I think people are valuing a little more because Singletary left and they brought in Damien Harris, who everyone thinks is like trash. And I think it may have frozen here. And Amari's going to score points. Watson is worth a decent amount at this point, I think, even without Rodgers. So, and Dalvin, I think, is still going to score some points this year. So, you got points, you got some value, and the other side is nobody. I don't think anybody really cares that much about Brian Robinson anymore. And like Jagger said, I mean, Mike Evans, I think, is still going to score points, but I think given the quarterback situation, people are doubting even that. And he certainly has no dynasty value at this point.
No. Yeah. One thing real I quick, like, though, I guess, our, to end. All these players are players that I would want to trade. Like, okay, I got Christian Watson. Let's turn Christian Watson into Garrett Wilson. Like, that's what I would try to do with all these players.
Also, but real quick, are you less in on Christian Watson if Aaron Rodgers does eventually end up somewhere else? Like, is a Jordan Love ball thrown to Christian Watson less worthwhile for you?
No, I don't, because I don't know what Jordan Love is either. To me, he's just longer Trey Lance. Like he's thrown like six passes, and he is a first round QB. Probably shouldn't have been a first round QB. But the fact that they feel comfortable enough to keep him around this long and then start him, I think it's telling. And the one game where I saw him, he looked competent. So I think him running in another watered down version of a Shanahan offense with Christian Watson, to me, Christian Watson will be the determiner if he's going to be good or not. Jordan Love, you know, like, I think Jordan Love's probably as good as Aaron Rodgers was, to be honest. And that's telling about Aaron Rodgers. So
to Jagger's point about how comfortable they feel with them, I thought this was interesting. I heard it mentioned on another podcast. I think it was the Football Guys Dynasty show, where they do you know who Jordan Love's backup is?
No.
Oh my god, yeah. I don't. No, that's good.
Exactly. They feel that comfortable that they the backup is Danny Etling.
Oh, I've known that. I've heard that before. Yeah.
But yeah. I'm saying they could have brought in somebody that had a more like Sam Darnold or somebody that could legitimately start games or something.
If is Jordan the Love sucks, backup quarterbacks comprised of quarterbacks the Patriots drafted at this point?
I think so.
Yeah, because it was the Patriots that drafted Danny. I'm a Pats fan. I'm like, that sounds like some garbage Bill Belichick overdrafted. Yep.
All right. Now this one, Joe Mixon for the 204 and 207. Like, this is one of those things where you're just like, really? And then you're like, well, yeah, kind of really. Mm. Like, I think we're past the point of getting a first for Joe Mixon. So I think if it has to be the 204, I want another second with it. But this is just kind of how I felt about this. Like, is anybody shocked by this, I guess?
You want to go, Jagger? I'll let you go. You're the guest.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not shocked at all, because, like, I just had a startup, and I've done, like, two startups this offseason. That's kind of mild considering our crowd. But, yeah. like Joe Mixon is going at, like, the eighth round. You know, like super low. And it's one of those things where it's like Joe Mixon chicken, you know, like
someone has to take him, right?
But yeah, I don't know. It's like, yeah, he's a starting running back on a good offense, you know, and you just feel gross. And then, like, every time you draft him, it always feels too high. So the fact that you got two seconds, I think, is a good thing, because you could get like right now, that's like Tank Bigsby, maybe, and he could be good, even though a lot of people
Tank
aren't
ain't falling to the 204 in any league I'm in. I'm telling you that much.
Well, one thing that people aren't talking about, there's not a lot of running back jobs available, and there's a lot of good rookies. But like to me, you got two picks that could be something. And on the flip side, I will say that this Joe Mixon trade, he could still be the Bengals quarterback, and he could be still Joe Mixon, as I like to call him. It could be, you know, 3 yards per carry 20 times, and he's falling in the end zone. And you're like, yeah, he did it.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, for me, I was just going to say Joe Mixon. I'm not surprised by this. I get it. But if I have Joe Mixon, he's just a hold for me at this point. I'd rather hold on to him and hope for a couple of those big boom weeks than sell him for 2 seconds. He is on the Bengals. He could score a bunch of touchdowns. He could have more of those boom weeks than we expect. So I don't love Joe Mixon at this point, but I don't love the 204 and the 207. So I think it's fair because it's hard to get anything for these older running backs at this point, but I'd rather just hold him if I had him.
Yeah, in the Trade Addicts 11 startup, he went the 906, the pick after the 201 was picked.
Mm-hmm. That startup, there was the running backs just sank.
Oh, the old running backs just fell forever. It was that was a game of chicken right there.
Yes,
who's going to take Kamara? All right, who's going to take Mixon? All right, who's going to take Elliott? Who's going to take?
I think Kamara went like the 12th, and I think Zeke didn't go to like the 17th or something. It was something ridiculous. Like
he was late. I mean, it was all clearly after he was cut. All right, the next trade we have one of the 25 first trades, 25 first for Jerry Jeudy. Give me Jeudy. I'm still a believer. Give me Jeudy over 25 first.
Same.
And I have not been, this was me, and I have not been the biggest believer in Jeudy, and I don't know that he'll be on my team when the year starts or not, but I thought he was worth more than the 25 first. So, and I know he finished off the year really well. So I don't have total take lock. I've never said Jeudy is a horrible player. I just wasn't a big believer in him, but given what he did last year, given the fact that I expect the Broncos to be a better offense and Russ to be better with Peyton, if he does stick on my roster, that's fine. But if not, I think I can get something better than a 25 first for him in return anyway.
Yeah. You have 2 years to get that pick back.
Exactly. That was my thinking. Like I said, I've never been a Jeudy guy, but if it was a 24 first, I probably wouldn't have done it, but at 25. Yep. Sure. Why not?
Yeah. 2025. Like I'm even getting into Devy, and that's not real to me yet. Like that's not real. I can get that back at any time. So I think that's a slam dunk to get a high upside receiver. So.
And for what it's worth, if it means anything to anybody, I do listen to some Devy podcasts like Kane Fasel, Devy Marketplace. And he said that 2025 as of right now doesn't look that great. Not as good as 23 and 24. Not that that matters that much, because like you said, even if I want that first back, I have 2 years to get it. So,
yeah,
I'm definitely going to. Oh man, and here's someone to give me. I went to Open Trade Addicts 1 to see how I can get Jerry Jeudy from Rocky, and I have a trade of Joe Mixon and the 206 for my 109, and I am just going to hit reject on that right now.
Yeah.
Nope. Because I did just make. We'll get to my trade in a minute or two about me just saying, you know what? Fine, I'll go in for this year a little bit. The next trade, which is not what I just referenced, is Jaylen Warren, Cole Kmet, and the 202 for Kyren Williams, Rashad Bateman, and the 304. The reason I left this in, because this is pretty much to me Rashad Bateman for the 202.
Like, yes.
The Cole Kmet slander.
Rashad Bateman. Is there hope? Someone tell me if there's hope. Is there hope?
Nope. I'm like where Rocky's at with Mixon.
My daughter just screamed nope from across the room. Go to bed. Go to bed. Talking about Rashad Bateman like that.
I love the rhyming too.
Yeah. I think Bateman's a hold. Like if I'm desperate at wide receiver, I would pay the 202 for Bateman. I was a big Bateman guy and believe in the talent. I think it's one of the first few times in my career or life where I am like really doubting the Ravens. Like, you know, the end of the Flacco years. Yeah, like that's almost like
when Ozzie Newsome left, things got weird.
Oh yeah. I'm just like, who's going to throw the ball? Are they going to throw the ball if Lamar is there? Like, I don't know. So like, I almost feel better about the 202. Cause like, you know, like 202 could be anything, even another Rashad Bateman.
It's going to be Zay Flowers, who the Ravens probably end up drafting. Like, you know, you're probably just going to literally draft his replacement in that spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm mostly with Jagger there. The fact that we don't know who's starting is a big problem for Bateman. I kind of think Lamar is going to be gone at this point. I'm not sure where he's going to end up, which means what? I mean, what are the? It's going to be Tyler Huntley this year. Yeah. So that doesn't give me much hope. And Bateman hasn't done a ton in these first couple years to give us much hope anyway. Yeah. So, not that everything's going to be elite, but I think Cole Kmet could be a nice little piece that you can start as well on the other side. Like you said, you were just disregarding him entirely, Russ. But
they brought over Bob Tonyan, so clearly Kmet is just nothing now.
But yeah, so I would want the 202 and slight hope for Kmet with the improving weapons around him. Maybe he helps free him up a little bit.
Yeah, so me doing this move that we're about to talk about is what led to someone trying to offer me Joe Mixon. The trade is Travis Etienne, Cortland Sutton, and I'm just going to say and George Kittle because I don't care about the 307. So Travis Etienne, Cortland Sutton, and George Kittle for the 103, a 24 second, and a 25 first. I stared at this for a while, and I legitimately couldn't answer, so I asked two people. They both said the players, so I just hit accept. I didn't want to make a choice. Like
I stared at it a while when the email came through, and I've been staring at it a while now, and I'm still not sure.
Exactly. Like when I'm that confused and I don't know what to do, I usually just hit accept, and I'll figure it out later. I don't recommend that. Like always, do as I say, not as I do. That like you probably shouldn't do that. But first of all, this isn't a league called the Trade Addicts League, so there's going to be activity enough that if I screw things up, I can fix it later, unless Elon takes away my polls and I can't do outhouse challenges. But Elon and I will talk about that later. But Jagger, what do you think? 103, 24 second, 25 first, or Etienne, Sutton, and Kittle? He would not switch out Sutton for Michael Pittman, though. I tried.
I wouldn't either. That's what I respond back. Yeah, I wouldn't have done that either. I'm just checking. I think I'd take the players because, I'm trying not to be the perennial rebuilder in Dynasty, and like the whole point is to eventually try to win. And again, I don't know what Cortland Sutton is, but I know what Sean Payton is, so like I'm willing to buy that. And Travis Etienne, I think he's an overvalued player probably, but I think you got him at a discount, so you could probably flip him and something else and upgrade, you know. And George Kittle, especially, I'm assuming these are tied in premium, so yep. George Kittle isn't. You either can use him or he's a trade asset. So to me, it's like you said, you hit accept. Everyone but Cortland Sutton can easily be moved again. Yeah. You know, yeah, easily be moved.
And like I've always been a very big Cortland Sutton fan. Like one of those players, like I saw him play in real life, and I'm just like, this is a man amongst smaller men who are still gigantic. But like. Mm-hmm. And of course, he never like really lived up to what he was his rookie season or anything. But like, hey, man, like Corey Davis and Devontae Parker have showed us 6 years can still be a breakout. Like I still have hope. Wait, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. All right. This is the year, Cortland. This is it. This is your sixth year. It's got to happen now. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm probably going to flip ETN. I like Kittle. I literally didn't have a starting tight end. And I know... Like, I've been equating Kittle to prime Gronk in where you knew Gronk was missing 3 or 4 games a season, but when he played, you're getting a tight end 1 game out of him. And Kittle, no matter how many games he misses, and no matter how many games, like this past season, he played through injuries and had to block a lot because of offensive line injuries, but still points per game ended as a tight end, like the tight end 3, I think it was. So, like, game by game, I love his upside. And I'm one of those things where I know I'm going to have to trade for a Cole Kmet-esque player that I can play when Kittle eventually misses a game. But it was one of those things, like, I've been John and I have been throwing offers back and forth at each other. Well, mostly me throwing trades at him because he has a lot of players and picks that I wanted. And then finally he sent me something. I'm like, I feel like I have to accept this just to encourage it to keep happening. So it was just, it was all around. It was fun. Okay, Trade Addicts 3. I mean, I forgot to highlight it on the screen, on the show sheet to point out that it's our trade of the week, but this is still going to happen.
Sleeper, trade of the week. Sleeper, trade of the week. We're going to talk about a Trade Addicts trade, and it's sponsored by the Sleeper app.
Yay. Trade Addicts 3, we are moving on to, and it's a 101 trade, which was right away, and I'm like, all right, well, this has to be our trade of the week, because it's hard to trade the 101 right now. Like, I have it in two Trade Addicts leagues, and of all, I've gotten, like, it's funny, I can't say I've only gotten one offer, because from one guy, I've gotten, like, four offers, and that's about it. Like, it's hard to, because people are just like, I have to sell this much to get a running back. And if I sell this much, am I still competing with, you know, to get this running back? But this was a good one. This is the 101 for the 104, 111, a 24 second. And let us not forget Velus Jones Jr.
It's nice that he got a trade in for him before he retires.
Yeah. Exactly.
So
like, he's going to retire on that roster.
I mean, then it's only fitting that the Bears drafted them. You could put him right next to Kevin White's jersey when they retire it.
I don't understand that pick. I can't even get into it. It's the worst pick I've ever seen.
Pick. I'm not sure they understood that pick. I think they wrote
like, one of the worst.
They wrote something else, and the guy and whoever, like, you know, they just read it as Velus Jones. They're like, I don't want to be awkward and correct them, but that's not what we wrote down.
I'm a Patriots fan. Worst draft pick I've ever seen, but for me on this pick, it's definitely like context. Whoever traded for the 101, you better be ready to meet. Like, you better be ready to win. You better be all in. And Bijan's your guy that just puts your team over the top. Because unpopular opinion, I'm not one that says you should draft someone else other than Bijan in the 101. I just think that the value that you get for the 101 is too great not to accept if you're a shit team. Like, I think that like the 104 right now, you get the last, to me, you get the last of the two blue chips that are left on the board. You can get CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, if you hate small people, Anthony Richardson, if you hate people who can't throw good or something like that, you know, like depending on where these players are going, you can get JSN. I think JSN is a high, high upside wide receiver that can finish top 24 right away. And then the 111, whatever that is right now, it's probably going to be a starter in the NFL. So like, I think that's a great play. And then you get a Velus Jones to hang his jersey in your rafters.
What, do you want an open roster spot? No, you got to put a guy in there. Exactly. You might as well put Velus Jones in there. I mean, I get it.
It takes 6 years to break out, and like then he age in dog years.
No, like he's going to be breaking a hip in 6 years. I mean, we can't wait that long. I have a couple of 104s where it is in my head that I'm taking JSN anyway. I don't care that there's going to be a quarterback there. So like and the guy who had the 101 earned it. And
good time.
Yeah. So regardless of who he's going to walk away with at the 104 and the 111, it's going to make his team better. And he would have nothing to do with Bijan. And I like this a lot because you're only moving back and you're staying in that second tier. Because right now, I think that second tier is the three quarterbacks afterwards. Or if you're crazy like me and I just want to put JSN up there, because when I like a wide receiver, I like them way too much, as you can see from like the ridiculous amount of T. Higgins stuff I have hanging behind me, you know, that I would probably overvalue him and take him ahead of one of the quarterbacks.
I don't think that's crazy, especially we see the value of like a great wide receiver like Justin Jefferson. So I don't think you're crazy, Russ.
I like this guy.
It feels like just because of the way people talk about what you should get for the 101 that you should get more than this. And I think he pulled it in the 101 one, you know, because we can still poll right now. Elon dictator move here. But I think it's given the context, because like you said, we're in the league. We know. And yeah, the guy who moved the 101 is really bad. His team, he's been rebuilding. He started to rebuild, I think, more last year, and it's still ongoing. And Bijan, yeah, is going to do nothing for his roster. I'd really be praying that someone takes Richardson at 2 or 3. But overall, I think it's not a bad move for him to do to get one of those top tier first after Bijan, and another one in the first, and then the other pick, and then of course the immortal Velus Jones.
Yeah, you got that veteran presence in the locker room.
Yeah, he needed that veteran leadership to come back in the trade to help the youngsters.
Yeah, that's what the Panthers are doing with Adam Thielen.
Yeah. Is Velus Jones older than Adam Thielen now?
Oh, man.
Okay, so let's leave off Velus Jones a little bit. Let's move on. Poor guy. I know he listens.
I don't think Velus Jones has ever been ripped more in like 2 minutes than he was just on this podcast.
I couldn't stop. I couldn't.
In Trade Addicts 5, Jordan Love and Rashad Bateman for Trey Lance.
I'm probably going Trey Lance, but like I get the move for Jordan Love and Rashad Bateman. We just talked about Rashad Bateman. Like, Rashad Bateman could be good. Do I believe that? Not in my heart. I don't believe it, you know. Like, and it's not, again, it's not him personally, it's the team. So to me, you could get arguably the same upside quarterback. Jordan Love isn't that mobile, but like, you have the same upside quarterback and maybe a receiver that could be top 36. So I think it's a scratch. Like, it's a wash. Like, it's a pretty fair trade. I'd probably lean the Lance side because I value elite quarterbacks. So
I kind of agree with Jagger that it's a wash, but I actually think I lean more to the Love side, just because you're getting
Jagger better than you.
Just because you're getting the extra piece, and he even said it earlier in the podcast that Jordan Love is kind of Trey Lance, just a little bit longer. And it's still, I mean, I wasn't a big fan of Jordan Love coming out, but it's still possible he could be good. So we don't know. And I think he has, going back again to something we said earlier, I think he has more long-term possible stability than Lance, just because Lance could be like not starting by October.
Possibly. That's a good point.
And Jordan Love's probably at least starting the entire year and probably getting a couple years, considering he never started on an extended basis for the Packers at this point. And they're, you know, they drafted him in the first round and they're moving on from Rodgers and all that. I think they probably give him 2 years. So I would lean that way, but I agree. There's more upside with Lance. And I do believe that Lance will probably start the whole year, but I think it's the other side is a little safer and you're getting an extra piece.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I mean, I agree with everything you just said, Rocky, and that's exactly why I did it. This was me, by the way. I said many times that I traded for Lance, and I did it for the exact reason you guys just said. I took the home run swing, and to me, that's much more Trey Lance than it is Jordan Love.
Yes. So,
like you all said, Jordan Love will be safe in his job. Like, that is, and in nowadays Dynasty, that's a big deal, because that's not a given in the quarterback position anymore. But I have, like, this Trade Addicts 5 team, it's in a very weird spot where I earned the 101, I have it, and I kind of have a team where if I massage it a little bit, I might be able to start competing now, or I have to trade away the 101, and I push my competing back for, like, another year and change. It's just like, I don't think if I were to make the swing for competing, Jordan Love or Rashad Bateman would be a huge part of my team. So I was willing to move them out, bring in Trey Lance, who either he works out and is my QB2 because I traded for Jalen Hurts. I think this is the league I traded for Jalen Hurts, at least. And, like, that's like, all right, well, I guess I'm competing now. Because someone sent me a trade I just kind of had to accept because the value was good. And I'm just like, all right, well, why not have that ridiculous swing as a QB2 in Trey Lance? So if it works out, great. Or I feel like I could flip Trey Lance still at this point. Just for, you know, that's really how I felt. Like, Love can flame out easier than Lance can in my mind. And the cost of business was Rashad Bateman, and I was fine with that based on the rest of my wide receivers.
Yeah, yeah, it's hard. And then again, we're talking about upside. It's hard to see. It's hard to see a place where Rashad Bateman is going to be the reason why your team improves. You know, like it's really hard to see that.
Well, I mean, in like 2 years when he plays out his contract and goes to another team, maybe. Not right now. Okay, so the last trade we have is DJ Moore for Brandon Ayuk, Jake Ferguson, the 407 and the 409. Because we just have to add pieces to trades these days for some reason. So Jake Ferguson, the 407 and the 409 got thrown on there.
Trade calculator. Someone said, yeah. Okay, this makes it even. I think I leave Brandon Ayuk because Ayuk's in the same tier as DJ Moore for me. And I like Jake Ferguson as a what the hell, he could be the starting tight end type thing, you know, like
wait, tight end. Like, what is it, like Pendershot or something like that?
Yeah. Like I'm buying both of those guys where I can, cause I'm like, you know, one of these mediocre guys could be the Cowboys new Dalton Schultz, you know, and that, and the 407, 409, cool.
Yeah, this was me. This was sent to me, and I can't remember who it was, but I'm sure they probably listened to the show and they know I'm a DJ Moore stan. So that's basically why this happened. I'm kind of with you, Jagger. That was the only holdup for me was Jake Ferguson, because I actually had the same thought
that could be Dalton. Jake Ferguson has never heard that phrase before.
But that's what I figured. He's still Jake Ferguson, and I love me some DJ Moore. And I am not the biggest Ayuk. I think I'm lower on Ayuk than most people. So that made it a little. They are. I think value wise in general in the market they're kind of in the same tier. But Ayuk's probably at least a tier lower for me. And Jake Ferguson and 407 and 409 weren't enough to turn me off of it. So I took me some DJ Moore, and I'm hoping this is the year he finally becomes a wide receiver one.
Exactly. And then like I've never seen your roster, but this is one where if I had context and you said like this team's good, but I need the guy that I think gives me the upside to be wide receiver one, I would pick DJ Moore over Brandon Ayuk every time. So like if that's what you're doing with this trade, I think that's a win for both sides. So
yeah, like I receive this offer, I go and look at my roster ship percentages. Who do I have more of? Okay, I'll take that guy. I'll take the other guy then. Like, this is like pretty, like, exactly. It's just like, okay, sure. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whatever I'm feeling that day, like, I just wrote, like, I just read something about Brandon Ayuk that made me like him a little bit more. I'll take Brandon Ayuk then. You know, it's like literally like, sure.
So, I happened to look at TA5 because of these two trades. And I just noticed I have a trade offer in there. I'm curious what you guys think. So there's a whole bunch of player names in here. Well, I know what Russ is going to think. There's just one player he doesn't want on his team. So maybe just what Jagger thinks. Because there's
Deshaun Watson.
Everybody wants to give you Deshaun Watson.
it's Watson, Javonte, Ridley, and the 113 for Herbert and Eckler.
I'll take the top one. I'll take the assets. I'll take Watson over Herbert because of the rushing upside. And then I'll take
you just broke Russ's heart right there.
And then I'll take Ridley because, like, I think Ridley has I think he has top 15 upside. Let's not say top 12, but like to me, he can have an Amari Cooper type year, like Amari Cooper had last season. So, and then the 113. Again, that could still be a rookie starter somewhere. So that's where my head's at. But I don't like to own Watson either. But like, I'm not that devout against it to where I won't accept. So
wait, can you read it for me again, Rock?
Watson, Javonte, Ridley, the 113, for Herbert at Eckler. There's also a 25-3rd in there, but I left that out.
Whatever. But so, like, the top part is so much is all risk. All risk. There is the only risk on Herbert and Eckler is what team is Eckler going to score points for?
Yeah, and I have questions about what role he's going to have.
Especially if he's with the Chargers, I'm more worried about him, actually, because the offensive coordinator changed.
Go well. Dude, yeah. We have a UK guy in our chat right now. Eric, go to sleep. Even he says, oh, I'm awake. Then don't be. But I'm glad you're spending your time with us if you are awake.
So even divorcing the whole you hate, you know, rostering Watson because he's an ass.
I would take Herbert over Watson. I want to see Watson be Watson before I'm ready to fully value him near Herbert. But, like, honestly, he plays 4 or 5 games into the season and he looks 80% of what he was 3 or 4 years ago. And I'm there. Like, you know, I just need to see it on the field during the season. And because he was really, 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 really good on the field. And it's easy to forget that. And it's also easy for me just to write off the name anytime I see it. But, like, I have to be a little realistic. Ugh, Javonte, like, they're going to draft a running back. They need bodies because they can't keep anyone healthy anyway. Javonte probably shouldn't play the first half of the season. Like, there's just, like, I don't know. Like, there's a lot of risk. And, like, I want Ridley to come back and just be Calvin Ridley, especially on that offense. I am not happy with the fact that he is number 0, but that's a completely different conversation. And, like, it's Justin Herbert, like the safest, very, very, very good quarterback you can have. So, like, I stick with Justin Herbert and Eckler, but I get the other side at least. Like, the upside on that top side is very, very good.
Yeah,
dude, it's roster changing. Like, it's roster.
Yes, it absolutely is.
Yeah. And yeah, we know how I'm pretty high on Watson. And my TA5 team is weird. This is an orphan I took over this year, and it's got some pieces. If all these pieces actually, like, contribute this year, it actually could matter. Like, it's sort of an incomplete kind of team. So, yeah, it's tough to say. So I'm still not sure I'm going to do it, even after asking you to. So,
well, if you do it, I demand you give me Calvin Ridley.
Okay, well, if I do it, we'll have to work something out so we can have
a No. If you do it, you give me Calvin Ridley.
Just give him to you?
Yeah. That's my price for giving you my input.
Okay.
Speaking of giving input, Eric in the chat, got an offer in my inbox. Give up the 102, 108, and 24 first for Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Just me and Jagger in unison. Yes. I don't even like to buy elite quarterbacks, as we know, and that was an instant yes for me.
Yeah, like, yeah. I was doing my best not to nod yes as I was reading the question. But, yeah. Okay, let's move on. We got listener questions now. The first one, at Andrew Hall FF. I know that guy. Talk about Daniel Jones' value in Superflex right now. Is he worth a first? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's worth a late first.
There's a wonderful line in the sand in firsts right now around the 109, where you have Bijan, the four quarterbacks, because they're all going to be top 9 to me, JSN, Gibbs, Addison, and then, like, between Zach Charbonnet and Quentin Johnston, like, yeah, them two, like, I have to see, like, if Zach Charbonnet goes, like, top 3 rounds, I might just, like, go all in on that guy, because I don't know, but I like his game, and to me, especially in a draft this deep in running back, getting drafted in the 4th round is still going to be completely fine, but, like, so if you go earlier than that, I'm in. So, like, after, like that 9th pick on is where I would start to consider a lot of these guys that we consider quote-unquote late firsts. Do I want to give it up? Probably not, but would I? Probably. Daniel Jones was a top 12 scoring quarterback, and they might actually get him someone to throw the ball to. I mean, they already got him Darren Waller for like 6 games a season. So, like, hopefully they draft a couple of wide receivers that can stay on the field. Hopefully Wandale gets healthy and stays healthy. Like, he was showing up right before he got hurt.
Don't forget Paris Campbell.
I want him to be a thing so bad. And plus, he must have been far to get into Paris.
I think I drafted never... him TA11 in like the 20th or something.
It's never going to happen. And if it does, it'll be for like one half.
Yes.
As long as it's for half of a season and not for half of a game, it's fine. Because we've only really gotten half of a game so far.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, we are finally in this super flex world past the point that a starting quarterback is worth a first. Like, it's tough to go get a first for, like, Baker Mayfield's probably going to be the starter in okay. Whoever the starter is in Tampa, whether it is Baker or Kyle Trask, you're not getting a first for that. No. I'm happy we are at that point. Daniel Jones is worth a first. Like, I think that's easy to say. He finishes. I asked people, by the way, what was their hobbies and what did they like to collect? As for hobbies, I got into NFL All Day a year ago and love it. NFL football meets NFTs, and it's a lot of fun. Plus, no cardboard to carry around either. I tried. NBA did it like a year or two ago, and then the NFL did it. I forgot what NBA called theirs, but like they're just digital cards, and it's fun. But it's something with me, like again, Patreon.com. You can see, like, I have a giant T. Higgins framed poster with his signed jersey in it, and I started surrounding it with cards. If I wasn't lazy enough, I'd turn my camera around. I have cards all over the place. Like, I got huge into cards at this point. I like having things to display, and I can't do that with digital cards.
Yeah, but I'm like that too. My passion is comic books, to be honest. And like, there's a whole thing with that too. And like, I'll read a digital comic, like especially with so many series now. But like, it means nothing to me. You can, you know, like, whoever, Tom Brady could sell it to me, it means nothing to me unless I can hold it in my hand and I can go to a con and have my favorite artist sign it. And then it's just like, I don't know, man, you know, it's kind of like, it's just not the same.
Oh yeah. This is a giant 3D printed Super Nintendo cartridge of The Adventures of Batman and Robin signed by Kevin Conroy,
the voice. Oh, that's, I almost broke the rule and used the F-bomb.
I would allow that because I can't explain how happy this makes me.
That's amazing. That's amazing right there.
Oh, yeah. I used to be huge into comics. Mm-hmm. I still have my boxes in the back, but yeah. Mm-hmm. That one.
Real quick on the Daniel Jones thing before we move to the next question.
We're talking about comics, Rocky.
I know, but I was looking at while I was zoning out while you two were talking about comics. I was looking at the DLF ADP, and he's QB 16. I'm just curious. I don't think any of us would not take any of the 15 QBs above him. So I'm not even going to ask that. But Daniel Jones or Kirk Cousins?
Daniel Jones.
Sorry, Rocky.
It's rushing upside. Like, throwing, I think they're about similar, but there's a reason why they call him Vanilla Vic. So,
yeah, I think
I've literally never heard that before, and that's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
And then the next guy down is, well, there's next two guys that are interesting. Daniel Jones or Will Levis?
Jones.
Oh, Daniel Jones.
Okay, that's what I thought. Daniel Jones or QB 19 is Trey Lance.
Jones.
Okay.
I'll take the safety.
Yeah. Jones. Probably the safe. Yeah, he's probably right. The right answer is Daniel Jones. The fun answer is Trey Lance.
Yeah, I think I like the fun answer better. So I think I agree Jones over Lev. And I think I would take Cousins over Jones. And I think I would take Lance over Jones. Well, yeah. But
again, just I love bringing up the smallest of smallest sample sizes. In the TA11 draft, Daniel Jones went 501 in between the 106 and 107. But also, people get scared when QBs go off the board too quickly.
Yeah, so it starts a run.
You know, drafts aren't always the same as trade value at all. But like that, like, he was the start of the new tier. Tua went at 307, Rock.
That's me.
And then all the way down to the 501 before the next quarterback was taken. And then they went fast after that. Yeah, that's like, I think that's where I am. Like, that puts, I mean, screw it. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, QB 13. And by the way, 501 was Daniel Jones. 504 Cousins. Was Kirk Cousins. 508 was Trey Lance.
Yeah.
All right.
Where did Jared Goff go? Because like, you're in that tier of quarterbacks to where I would rather have Jared Goff
606, you got a round and a half before you had, you know, so you got one or two players before you had to take, in your, you know, rounds before you had to take Jared Goff there. I agree with you. I like waiting on Goff for a little bit. And then Carr at the 611, which I also like.
Yeah.
All right. Hold on. I lost my show sheet. Cool. V_Pizzle, favorite current NFL player and favorite pro athlete outside of the NFL?
There's sports outside of the NFL?
I had to look it up, but there are.
Okay. What about you? I only watch one sport outside the NFL now. And it's not that I don't like other stuff, but the only one I actually keep up with, and it's because I have no ulterior motives, no betting, and that's Formula One. So I guess I really like Fernando Alonso. So I know that's like a weird, boring answer, but favorite current NFL player. You could have
made up a name, and I would have been like, oh, cool, right.
Yeah, exactly. I would have believed it. I was like, I'm such a nerd right now saying this, but favorite current NFL player. I'm a sucker for wide receivers, and Justin Jefferson is the easy answer. But if I have to get deep into it, I love watching Diontae Johnson tape because he is a craftsman. I love watching a craftsman work.
You made Rocky pretty happy.
Yeah. I'm a big Diontae Johnson. Is this not on my team?
Yeah. Whatever makes you happy.
Yeah.
Because my favorite current NFL player would probably be Jalen Hurts.
Okay. That's what makes you happy.
Yeah. I mean, he's on my team and he's an amazing player and he's fun to watch. So,
yeah.
Favorite pro athlete outside the NFL is, again, probably a homer pick. I'll probably go with Joel Embiid because he's a monster.
That's a fair one, though. He's just fun. Like,
yes.
Like
fun guy, too. Like, just outside of his play. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like one of the few NBA guys I follow on Twitter, and like I just think he's like wildly entertaining.
Yes. So.
I mean, like I said before, I have gigantic T. Higgins poster signed jersey with cards surrounding it. Yeah, T. Higgins right now. If Calvin Ridley never left, he'd probably be the answer. But I had to suffer through like a year and a half without Calvin. His jersey's right over there, by the way. And the cards are on the table. I just need to buy something to put them on the wall with. Outside of, like, I can't handle multiple sports. I don't have the attention span for it. I have a friend, like, I try, because, like I said, I'm big into cards right now. And football cards, it's funny. Like, I put, like, dealing in football cards is like day trading, if we're talking about stocks. But like baseball cards, like they care about history. Like you can have a Dan Marino autograph and it is worth half the price of Mac Jones cards because I don't know. I don't have the real reason. Like Brock Purdy cards during that playoff run were going for thousands of dollars where I have a Peyton Manning third year autograph that's like $125.
They're at the point where people are with like rookies where like they will hype them up because they think that they're going to have much more value. But in all reality, they are probably at peak value because of the hype that you put into them.
That's literally so. And like, honestly, like I love the day trading of football cards because it's a lot like dynasty value. It legitimately like I bought into Hurts and Fields before last season in cards and in fantasy, and it worked out for both. Like, you know, so like I find that a lot of fun, but in baseball right now, and I literally have no reason, like here's how little I know about baseball, little I know about everything. I found, you know, my friend bought a box of cards for us to go through because he's trying to get me into baseball cards. There's a guy named O'Neal Cruz on the Pirates, I believe. First of all, his number is 61, and that was my number when I played sports. And two, he was named after Paul O'Neill, and I know who that is. So I'm like, I like this guy now. So that's my favorite athlete outside of football because I just learned there were sports outside of football. And I got nothing. Like, if you want to start talking about late 90s hockey, I could do that. Like, Martin Brodeur literally, like, they had to change the rules of hockey so Brodeur wasn't as good anymore. Or, you know, I used to play defense and Ken Danico, who was the stay-at-home defenseman of the New Jersey Devils for 30 freaking years. Like, that was my hero because he wasn't that great, but he was good enough to be in the NFL. and great for the system they played. And I was not great at playing hockey, but I still did pretty well. And I'm like, yeah, I'm the Ken Danico of this team, baby. So that's what I got. At Zales 2525, trade values for rebuilding squads. Some examples: Kyler Murray for 2 firsts plus. Is Kyler Murray worth 2 firsts anymore?
I think he's worth just 2 firsts. I'm like, plus what? Like a sandwich or something?
Yeah, it's
like what do you want?
It might depend on the firsts.
Yeah, I traded
and the sandwich.
Yeah, what sandwich are we? How big of a sandwich are we talking? Like,
yeah.
I traded Kyler Murray for the 102, 202, and a 24-second. I think it was a couple of weeks ago to Peter Howard, and I felt great about it. He felt great about it. If we're getting back into, like I said before, like if we're outside of that QB range and it's like the 105, 106, I want another first involved there. But like if you're giving me like the 105, like if I could walk away with JSN and Gibbs, I would send away Kyler for that. Like, so I don't think you're getting much of a plus. If anything, like Kyler and a third for those 2 firsts and a second, like maybe you get a little bit of a bump somewhere else, but I think you, especially if they're middle, you just be happy with those 2 seconds, right?
Yeah, and it's like I thought Kyler Murray, I think he still is a buy, but like I'm not throwing firsts for him, if that makes sense. Like
it makes perfect sense
and two of them, you know.
Yeah, like you want to throw away like a little bit of older guys, because especially you're not getting Kyler for a couple of months into the season if he is even playing.
Yeah, like I would trade Jared Goff in like the 111. You know, maybe or something like that.
Yeah, like Russ and I did a trade in season after Kyler got hurt. I forget what the exact deal was, but I know it was Cousins plus.
I didn't even remember we did that.
So yeah, TA3 where I'm rebuilding. You wanted points, and I gave you Cousins and something else. I can't remember what it was, but something like that, yeah, I think is a good way to do it rather than going the first route, especially because Kyler, if you're trading for Kyler, you're probably not planning on competing this year, so why do you want to give up first? So
exactly,
Eric says in the chat, I collect CDs, I insure them separately from the house. That is dedication to your collection. okay, this one kind of took me for a ride. Derrick Henry, can you get 2 firsts?
No.
Derrick Henry, can you get a first?
A 111. He's a guy, if I'm trying to win and I just need that running back, I'll pay a 111 for Derrick Henry anytime. I think Derrick Henry will be worth the 111 until he dies. Like, he's like, I will not.
Yeah,
like I am not gonna ever say, I'm not gonna be the guy that says, well, this is a season Derrick Henry's gonna fall off, because I've looked like an idiot like 3 times now, and I'm not gonna do it again.
Does it matter if he's on the Titans or not?
No, I don't care. It's
as long as he's not still Derrick Henry.
I don't think he's a person, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that like he's like
not human. He can't.
Yeah. Like he's the reason why people say like that they invented the word built different. Like, I don't know what that is, but
I don't know what it is, but I know what it, and I see it. When I look at Derrick Henry, I see it.
Exactly.
Same question for Mark Andrews and Hollywood. I guess he's just more asking like what their value is. Mark Andrews, I'm torn on this. Like, to me, I don't as much care of who's throwing Mark Andrews the ball, because he's that good. He's talented. He will get the ball regardless who was throwing the ball. I would prefer it to be Lamar, because we've seen them two work well together and because Lamar likes throwing to tight ends. But I think this hurts his value if Lamar is gone, especially if Huntley plays. But like, you can't not value Mark Andrews as the top three tight end, regardless of any. Like, I have to hold until he gets that value again. Like, I can't trade him away for less than that.
He's kind of the Joe Mixon of tight ends.
You know?
You're like
you're stuck.
Who's gonna get him? You know, and it's like, it's never me. I will, like, let's say again, we talk about startup value, and that's kind of like relative to the draft. But I am one of those people where I will let someone else draft Mark Andrews, and that's when I queue up Pat Freiermuth, because I would just rather have Patty F for his cost than give up Mark Andrews when I can probably get a first round draft pick if you're pulling draft picks or something like that around that range. So it's hard for me. And it's weird. I love Mark Andrews. And I'm one that, like you said, you bet on talent. But honest to God, I don't know what Mark Andrews is worth now. And I don't know. And it's kind of like how Darren Waller was all of last year. Like, I will spend a second on him. He's probably worth a first. I just don't feel comfortable throwing that first out there. So
I was just going to say, I'm with you. And then I don't really know what he's worth now, but I'm, I'm closer to Russ though, too. And that I still have to almost value him if I have him as a top three guy and I'm not selling him for less than that. Cause I mean, we're only 1 year removed from that. And that was a largely, which it may be going forward, Lamar-less years, but last year was a largely Lamar-less year. And I think Andrews was banged up for a lot of last year too. So, yeah. It's hard to judge him off last year and the last fully healthy year with if in fact, it's still possible that Lamar ends up back with the Ravens. So if that's the case and he's healthy, I mean, we could see 2021 again. So I can't sell him for less than top three tight end value, whatever you want to say that is. I'd probably need a first plus.
He's probably be all... Yeah. To answer his question, he's probably a hold. What is Mark Andrews worth? He is worth whatever roster spot he's on right now.
If you are, if you have him, chances are you're the Mark Andrews person in your league. If there is another one, they'll send you the right offer.
That's what he's worth. Yeah.
And then. Anything strong on Hollywood Brown at this point, like especially not knowing who's throwing the ball in Arizona and all that? Like, I like the player, but a lot of the allure with him and Kyler together.
He's a package guy for me. Like, I'm not going out and saying I need Hollywood, but if I'm trying to get a deal done, I would be like, you throw in Hollywood, I'll do it. that's where I'm at. So,
yeah. All right, let's move on. At Real Fantasy TL, it would be great to hear Rocky's thoughts on Ronald Jones's value. He's only one injury away, LOL JK. Never get
that. I'm not even going to dignify that. So.
As trade masters, what would you trade to get a top 5 QB in a super flex league, especially if you don't have a top 12 QB on your roster? I'm going to change this because if we want to go top 3, and to me, Allen, Mahomes, and Hurts are the top three, and I have them in a tier up there by themselves. Whatever it takes, I would absolutely go get them. Because first thing, they are very, very, very good to have on your team. Second, if you ever decide, like, crap, I gave up too much and I can't put a team together, you can easily trade them away for probably more than you traded for them. It's fine. And it is absolutely just worth it to have these guys on your team because the three of them in any given season could easily, without question, not only be the QB1, but could run away with it. Like the three of them are that talented and at least two of them have the legs to give them that extra little push. And honestly, like I think in the right system with wide receivers that stay on the field, Herbert could get his way to that. And man, like, I don't know what Burrow needs. Like, the thing is, like, I am not at all afraid of Joe Burrow because I know a lot of people, like, his touchdown percentage has to go down. It has to go down. Well, it hasn't in 3 years. You know, like, I that offense is built for that. That's what it's meant to be. But
yeah, that's where I'm at. Like, I was talking to him, like, a random Discord or something, and I brought up the point that, like, I'm aware that Burrow's ceiling is probably top 5. That's it. He's never going to be QB1. He can't do it, but I think he's going to be top 5 every year. And I'm okay having that. He's that good. He is like Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. The reason why he's going to throw a lot of touchdowns because he is really, 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 really good at football. That's just it. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay. So,
yeah. So like I probably take a step back from those top 3 when we're talking about Herbert and Burrow, because they are my 4 and 5 without really thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And then when you get a little lower than that, then I start thinking about, you know, what I'm trading away for them. But it's like before, like, 3 firsts where one of them was the 102, and we didn't even blink about saying, yep, Mahomes. Like, because you're not going to be sad to have Patrick Mahomes on your team. Ever.
And you can get another first, you know, like I'm one that I don't like trading my draft picks because I think that I do better with them than more people. Like, everyone's better at certain things. I'm a good rookie drafter, so I want to hold on to them. But it's like you said, you're not going to get you. It's bad process to bet on every rookie quarterback to be Patrick Mahomes. They don't grow them on trees. You know, Jalen Hurts, players like that, the Jalen Hurts is good right now. You know, like a lot of people were like, well, you should get Bryce Young because he could be Kyler Murray or Russell Wilson. And here's why I tell people, why would you trade on someone who could be something when you could have someone that is something right now? So build around those players and everything else will work out. And again, I brought this up earlier. If you want to look at how NFL teams do it, look at what the Panthers did. They were like, okay, our quarterback can draft to garbage as long as we have a QB. Everything else will work. That's how you should treat your dynasty roster.
Yeah, boat is a boat, but the mystery box could be anything. You could even be a boat.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, it was a joke for a reason because it's real.
And like we talked about with that Mahomes trade, for any of those three, I would do that because, yeah, I mean, one of those was a late-ish first, and one of them was a 24 first.
Yeah, one or two want to wait on 24 first, like, for Mahomes. Yeah. That just seems so easy, yeah.
Yeah, like, I would send that. And I would do it for Hurts or Allen, too. Yeah, it seemed light. So if I'm getting a little bit of value, so I would give 3 first, depending on the first. If we're talking stud players, it would be harder for me to do because that's not how I generally play, but when you're talking those three guys, especially, and you're talking just picks, I don't feel as confident that those picks are going to pan out the way Jagger does. So maybe he's better, probably is better at picking rookies than I am. So whenever I'm trading, I think each of them in at least one league, despite how I usually play quarterback. I think I have one each of Allen, Hurts, and Mahomes. And to trade them, I would need probably multiple stud players. Like, I'm not trading them for 3 first. I don't think I'm trading them for 4 first. I need players.
Yes.
And to be fair, I said I would trade all of those rookie picks for Mahomes. That is the point I'm making, is that, like, I don't care if I think I'm right about Anthony Richardson. I know that Mahomes is good.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Okay. @Paul_Ryan15 asking the important questions. Which one is better, Pop-Tarts or toaster strudels?
This is disrespectful. Like, you know the answer. It's toaster strudels. Like, that's not even a question. Is it?
It is.
I think it's Pop-Tarts for me.
I think this also might be an age thing, because Pop-Tarts were around for decades before Toaster Strudels came around. And they were a little arrogant when they came out, because they were pretty much just like, do you want this garbage? And it's like a Pop-Tart, just, you know, without the box. And it's just like, yeah, I want that garbage. Don't give me your gooey inside, and I have to spray on. I have to drizzle on the frosting. No, cover my whole damn thing with frosting. Just give me sugary whatever in the middle and call it a day. Like, exactly. I don't need no strudel. I don't need no high class Pop Tart. Like, what, breakfast pastry? No, give me a Pop Tart.
I spread my cream with my pinky out.
You know what? If I were eating a toaster strudel, I would have to, because I would feel like I was bringing it down to my level if I didn't.
Oh, man. I thought when I read that, I was just like, why would you even ask me that? It's a toaster strudel. And honestly, what you said is right. When I grew up, the kids who brought toaster strudels, those were like the Jordans of like breakfast pastry.
Do they even still make those? If they do, that's their new ad campaign.
Yeah, it's the just
Jordans,
like,
of breakfast pastries.
Well, my mom brought me a toaster strudel. You're like, well, you know, it's
okay, dude. Okay,
it's cinnamon apple for me again. Let me open my portal.
Like, you do that. I'm taking my brown sugar and cinnamon and just going to the park and having a good time. @Geronimo Rambles, what is worse, Cameron's handling of his dad's Ferrari and Ferris Bueller, or the Ravens handling Lamar Jackson?
Easily Lamar Jackson, because he's worth like six Ferraris.
And like, there was personal fulfillment in Cameron's dealing with that Ferrari.
Yes.
Like, he grew as a human being. No one's growing as a human being from this Raven situation.
Correct. No.
And Cameron bitched and moaned the whole movie, and probably if he would have just been cool, everything would have been fine. I'm not saying it was his fault, but when you put that energy out there, don't come to me when it comes back.
By the way, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like the two guys who worked in the garage were, where you were just like in the air going over a hill in a car. It's effing terrifying. It is not fun like they made it seem. It happened to me once in my 95 Corolla, and I thought I was going to die. Like, not fun. Especially the clangs and sounds that makes when you land, and you're like, all right, well, I need a new car now. Thankfully, I didn't.
But I love the reference in there, though. One of the best movies of all time, Ferris
Bueller. Oh, yeah. We can count on David for that. So he says, hobbies include consuming useless information, listening to us, good, thank you, collecting audio gear, boots, and dress shoes, and irritating my wife and children. Right before, like, before COVID,
that's one of my hobbies too.
I was huge into shoes, and I was still bargain. Like, I was trying to, like, all right, well, there's these beautiful pair of $200 shoes, but here's like the Amazon version for $46. Let me go do that. So I had a bunch of those, and then I'm like, you know what? There's this pair of boots. Stores in the city, so I can go and I could try them on. I don't have to like order them online. I spent $250 on a pair of really nice, beautiful boots, and then literally the next week, quarantine happened. I've worn them out of the house twice in 3 years because I haven't gone anywhere nice since then. And it's just like, well, shit. Now I wear my slippers out of the house. So I'm not gonna, you know, I don't need these nice pair of boots, and it crushes my soul when I look in my closet at them. But yeah, like, I used to love shoes, but then I stopped going anywhere.
I used to be a shoe guy, and then I started dating, and then you can't afford both.
You can't, you know? Yeah. That's what happened with me in comics. Like, yeah, I used to, every Wednesday, go and spend, like, my $40 on whatever comics came out that week. And it's like, oh, cool. Not only am I dating, like, we moved in together, and I have to pay. You know, it's a lot easier when you're like four dudes living in a small townhouse to be able to afford things. And it's like, all right, it's the two of us in an apartment that now my rent is more expensive, and we actually use utilities, and we have to put real food in the fridge instead of just like, you know, pre-cooked things. All right, I can't afford this anymore. Sorry, yeah, comics.
There's literally a time where I look back and I'm like, man, I could afford shoes and clothes for myself, and I always went to the gym, and it was because I lived alone in one bedroom. Yeah.
That's the way it works. We don't have to spend on anyone else. At BJunkin87, where are we at Jordan Love and Superflex? I think we talked plenty on Jordan Love at this point. Mm-hmm. Okay, but where would you put him in the QBs this year? I'm assuming you at least have Stroud, Young, and Richardson ahead of Jordan Love.
I would. Jordan Love, just looking like anecdotally, like we talked about them small sample sizes, where he's going in drafts is where I think it's appropriate, where it's after Jared Goff. It's after the guys that we at least know what they are, and we know what they look like in the offense. And I know that it's weird to put rookies ahead of them after saying that, but again, if Jordan Love was that good, Aaron Rodgers probably wouldn't have been a Packer as long as he has been. At least last year, for sure. You know, like, it's, and I'm not saying, again, Jordan Love, I'm not saying he's bad, but I don't see the upside. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I think the only rookie of the main four, I'll put Love ahead of Levis.
I'm out on Levis. I don't want
to. I don't get it. He'll probably get drafted early, in which case I hope other people get into him. So I don't, like, there's going to be Will Levis chicken in a lot of Superflex rookie drafts. And I really hope I don't have to take him at like that 108 spot where it's just like, am I really going to let him fall to the end of the first? Oh, no. Like, and then I saw ESPN put out a mock draft like today or yesterday where Hendon Hooker was getting taken at the 5 by the Seahawks. And it's just like, don't do this. Why are you building steam on this where it doesn't need to happen? Like, we make Velus Jones jokes, like him and Hendon Hooker are going to retire together in a couple of years. Like,
yeah. Yeah. They're going to be posting videos on the beach like Tom Brady and all his receivers did today. You know,
yeah, just, exactly.
Honest to me, like he says, buy, sell, or price check. He's both, because like to me, he's cheap enough to where if you need a quarterback, then you know why not Jordan Love. But if you don't need a quarterback, why not just sell Jordan Love and get someone that's probably better? You know,
exactly like what happened with me and Lance before. It's just like, yeah, all right, yeah, I'll take a swing and I'll find Love to do it.
Exactly, that's the perfect example of a trade. Yeah.
And then he says, hobby outside of fantasy football is a resurrection of my childhood hobby, NFL and MLB card collecting. Benny and I actually collect together. Thanks for my son's growing interest and the nostalgic feels it brings me certainly helps too. Seriously, like card collecting got huge during the pandemic and I love it. At B Hillman 42, if you are rebuilding team, what would you take for Damian Harris or Khalil Herbert or Kenneth Gainwell? Would you package all three for a 23 first? If you can get a 23 first for the three of them, you hit yes, and you maybe quit that league so no one like chases you out of it. Like, you're lucky to get second for Harris at this point. Like, Kenneth Gainwell went for the 212.
Yeah.
If it's the 113, right? I'm doing that in a 12-team league.
Like, with the exception of Dame, like I like Damon Harris at cost, which is nothing right now.
Like because third. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Which is nothing. Especially if you're like I'm a zero RB guy. So he's the type of guy I'm trying to get. But like Khalil Herbert and Kenneth Gainwell are fool's gold right now. Like to me, the Eagles could still draft somebody. The Bears could still draft somebody. They could. I'm just not paying anything from Kenneth Gainwell. If I miss the boat, whoop-de-doo, I'm a zero RB guy anyway, so it doesn't really matter to me. So.
Yeah, like I think if I'm on the clock at like the 210 and like my dart throws aren't there and there's no one, I'm just like, I don't care that it's a round early. I'm just going to take my guy that I would have taken in the third now. I would probably take a shot on Kenneth Gainwell. Just because I firmly believe you're right. They need to bring in more running backs, but they like role playing their running backs. So like give me the receiving back. That's fine. I'll take that. I'll take that job.
And that's my point. I think Kenneth Gainwell is the same. He's going to be the same player that we saw this year. Like if they need him to get carries, he can do it. But you know, he's not going to be a 15 plus touch guy week after week, you know? So.
Yep. Yeah. And his hobby is beating my kids at Mario Kart on the Switch is my all-time favorite hobby. Yeah, I feel that. Yeah, that's still a good feeling. At Ascending, man, I screwed this up last time too. D-I-S-S-E. I don't know how I'm supposed to say that.
Me either.
So Ascending Disc 2. Sure. Sorry, man. Maybe just like, come on, let me know. Help me out a little bit. I feel like we are getting excited about rookie tight ends, and rookie tight ends don't really produce. However, when these guys don't produce, we are quick to move on to the shiny new rookie tight ends. How do you navigate through the Kyle Gransons, Brevin Jordans, and McBrides? First of all, Brevin Jordan's going to be a thing. You hold on to Brevin Jordan.
No, he's not.
He's not, Russ.
But I liked him, and like I like holding on to school position groups like hashtag Team Clemson big wide receiver. Give me all the Miami tight ends, and that Brevin Jordan went to Miami. That's really all it is. There's no real reason for that. I say that.
I Brevin love it.
Was a Miami tight end, but like McBride.
McBride, I think
at the end of the year, and like it sucks that it came at Ertz injury, but like I'm not off on McBride any more than, I mean, I'm not off on him at all. I should say, like I'm on him just like I was last season. That's completely fine. I mean, Kyle Granson was never really my jam. But yeah, like what you have to do is sort of take it in stride with what you see. You're right. It's rare for rookie tight ends to produce. But you ride the – how much do you believe in this guy? How much can you get for him in trade? Because with tight end, either you're fantastic or it doesn't matter.
Yep.
Like that's kind of how I feel, especially if you're not in a tight end premium league. Like, I probably wouldn't have many tight ends on my team if there's no premium whatsoever for it. Trade Addicts leagues have a 0.75, which is decent. So I like to have a lot of tight ends just in case one of them hits and I can flip them for a second. Like,
that's the only thing my taxi squad is for that's just full of tight ends that probably aren't going to be anything, you know? And Kylan Granson, I was a big Kylan Granson guy. I say big. I liked him for his landing spot. And now that Frank Reich is gone, that undersized tweener tight end role for a guy that hasn't really produced, I don't see that mattering. But like McBride was a second round pick, an incredibly productive receiver. So to me, he's a very low cost bet that I would like to get on my rosters to stash everywhere. When I read this, the Froth and Magic cards, like, I know Magic, I like Magic, mm-hmm. but like Froth, I thought that was like an abbreviation, you know, like some people, is it for what?
Frisbee golf.
Oh, okay. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Okay.
Froth. I'm curious what you thought it might have been.
I don't know. I was like, is this a video game? Like, is it something? Cause like, I don't know. Like, I love Zelda, you know, we say Breath of the Wild, BOTW. So I'm like what kind of game is this? Maybe I'm down.
Yeah. Frolf is Frisbee golf and Magic cards. Like, it's funny. Like, I see that phrase and I'm like, oh, I'm in middle school again. I was one of those guys where, you know, you finish your lunch real fast so you can, you know, clear off the table and start playing card games. Man, I miss that stuff. Any feelings on young tight ends, Rock?
No, just that. I mean, I kind of agree with them in that I don't really look to draft rookie tight ends unless they're Kyle Pitts in the first round anymore. And I do like what Jagger said, though. I do like to get those guys in the third and fourth round and just hope that something happens. Like, we saw it with Okonkwo. I mean, he's worth more than what you drafted him for. Even if you get out for like a second, that's more than you paid for him. So occasionally you'll get that. But yeah, they're really not worth – I mean, they're really, I don't think, in general, worth drafting. Like, you could buy McBride for whatever you probably drafted him at last year. So
yeah, see, I'm a sucker for Jelani Woods in the third. Like, this year, if Darnell Washington falls to the third, I'm probably going to have a whole lot of him. Like, give me the ridiculously long and athletic guy, and I'm just like, okay, yeah, because that's what matters in tight ends, is being
athleticism.
And there's weird and so many of them this year, too. So I'm sure I'm going to have probably a share or two of almost all these tight ends, because most of them aren't going in the first round. Maybe Mayer. The rest of them are not. Yeah.
Like, yeah, not a couple in the second. Like, I think we're going to see Mayer and Kincaid probably go in the seconds, depending on where they get drafted in the real world.
And Rocky said it right. Like probably all my third round, because like it's pretty. This draft class is like top heavy kind of, and then tight end's the only thing with depth. So third and fourth round, I'm probably going to be taking tight end over like Stetson Bennett or something like that. I'd rather like take a tight end and again, let him just rot on my taxi squad until he ages out, you know?
Yeah. I mean, in general, like from the second half of the second round on, I'm mainly looking to draft running backs that could hopefully be an injury away and tight ends.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is the end of our show sheet. So that is going to be the end of our show. Thank you super much, Jagger. I had a wonderful time. I hope you also had a wonderful time. If you didn't, please lie to me.
Oh, I had a wonderful time. And that is no lie. It was total
good,
fun.
Good, because I don't know if I could handle someone telling me they didn't have a wonderful time on the show. But before we do head out, remind everyone who you are, what you do, where they could find what you do.
My name is Jagger. You can find me on Twitter at Fantasy Blue Chip. I write for DLF. I make content at all kinds of places. Twitter is the best place to find that. So,
all right. Well, our stuff, said it a couple of times during the show, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can watch us while we record, tell us, answer the stupid questions I ask in my tweets during the show, and we'll read them. Or, you know, ask us a trade question, because I like talking trades. We'll just talk about it on the show, probably. also, we have our awesome Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club, which is a rocking good time, if I say so myself. And then ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com. You can go and buy shirts, mugs, stickers. We still have all of our SFB 12 stuff. 13 is coming soon, so that's all is in my head is SFP 13, but we're not there yet. So all of that stuff, but also all of the DAP network stuff, Trade Addicts, Junkies, Timeline, Get Real. I hope there isn't another show that I'm forgetting, so I'll feel like a jerk about it, but I'm talking too fast and I'm way too tired to really think when I speak. But every single penny that comes in goes straight to Fantasy Cares. So you get some awesome stuff. Kids will get some awesome stuff for the holidays. Everybody wins and it's bedtime. So good night, everybody.
Good night, Russ.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLS family of podcasts. And a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants, that is the best. See ya.